1, 67 degrees, dense fog advisory in effect. Tuesday, April 27th, Fairhope City Council met last night in regular session, and as customary, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the next day. Good morning, Mayor. How
are you? Good morning. Good, Lori. How are you?
It's still great to call you Mayor.
Thank
you. Who was I speaking with? I guess it was Jody Keating with the Arts and Crafts Festival Committee and Board, which, of course, you're a member of.
Right.
And we were talking about how you were just born for this.
Well, thank you. It's still strange to me to hear people call me that, but
you've dreamt it your whole life.
And I'm enjoying it. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
Good, good. A lot to take on, my dear. A lot to take on. 27-item agenda from last night's council meeting. But before we get there, anything on the work session you want to talk about?
Let's see. On the work session agenda, flip here. There was a few things that we talked about. You know, one thing that the garbage route pickup days, that change in that, we're trying to balance that garbage schedule we have right now. You know, it's just the way the routes are picked up, you know, whether it's Monday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, or however that schedule works, it's just out of balance. So with all the growth that we're seeing, they're really trying to just kind of balance those garbage routes. So probably in the next several months, you'll see some changes coming. We're going to give a 90-day window to do that campaign and get the word out to how we're going to change things. But basically, we're going to target, at least from the proposal they made last night, we're going to target some of those newer subdivisions. So people who have had the same pickup for, you know, 30 to 40 years will continue to have that same pickup. But some of the areas that could be impacted would be like Stone Creek Villas, Twin Beach Estates, Summer Lake, Southland Place, Huntington Woods, Old Battles Village. So, but again, you'll hear more information on that. It'll be on the council agenda next time.
Corey Martin, councilman, was here yesterday, and he explained it. And when you mean balancing out, because there's more houses on one night than there is another,
correct,
and they're trying to balance it for the crews,
correct,
and
because
the equipment.
One
right.
night, like maybe the Monday, Thursday schedule, they're having like a lot of overtime trying to pick those up, and then on Tuesday, Fridays, it's a lighter route. So again, as we add locations and the way they have it mm-hmm. divided, it's just not balanced. So they're trying to figure that out now.
Okay. Anything else from the work session? I know, was the working waterfront discussion there, or was that limited to the
meeting? It was on the council agenda. We talked about the council meeting. The only other thing that was lengthy discussion was some proposed changes to on-call pay for employees. I think you'll hear more about that before it goes to the council agenda. We tossed around some ideas just on how we could make sure that was, you know, fair to the employees and also fair to the city's budget. So you'll hear more about that in the next coming weeks.
And on-call would typically be the utility? Utilities, I'm guessing.
Not only utilities, you know, you have IT, dispatch, the magistrates, you have facilities maintenance from Public Works who are on call. So, you know, as we have added, you know, you want to do those on call things for times when you need to call extra people in versus just adding staff. So we're just trying to really, you know, tweak that ordinance to make sure, like I said, it's good for the city and good for the employees, because we do need those employees who will be on call, and we certainly want to compensate them for their time.
Okay. All right, and on to the agenda. Number 7 and 8 would bring C Spire and Point Broadband fiber to the city. Is that what, new internet providers?
That's correct, new internet providers. Both of those kind of actually happened at the same time, where they both came to the city and wanted to come in and offer fiber in Fairhope, fiber to the home services. So yes, we have two new providers here in the area, which is exciting. You know, as we have started offering, you know, people who are working from home more, people who are, you know, children who have to do their schoolwork from home. So it's really exciting to have these companies who want to come to Fairhope and do business.
And on to number 9, the government declaring a surplus and selling some items on what appears to be like a municipality or government website for sales.
It is govdeals.com.
GovDeals.
GovDeals. And you can go there and pretty much find surplus material from every municipality in the state of Alabama or around the country, I believe. It is where we can surplus vehicles, equipment, anything that's outused their lifespan with the city. We can surplus that. The city council can surplus it, and then we can put it out on GovDeals, and we can sell it to the highest bidder. We've actually been able to recoup some cost, you know, on some of the equipment that has really, we've used their life, but somebody else might need it for pieces and parts or just want to take it and you know, do something else with it.
Good idea. Good idea. Number 10 is the Working Waterfront project. Tell us about that council vote and what it means for, I guess, phase one.
Okay. So we did have several people who spoke out against the current, you know, against the council approving the scope of work and the conceptual. And the main people's concern is that ramp from the top of the bluff to the bottom of the hill.
And what's their concern about that ramp?
They just don't really want it. They don't see that it's necessary. And there is some, you know,
They're not in wheelchairs.
No, they were not. But, you know, ADA law is something that is very hard to interpret. The things that I have been told about the ADA law is if you, for instance, if we rebuild the stairs at the top of the hill, if we change those in any capacity, then we have to provide an alternate route for people with limited mobility. So that's kind of been what we've been going on. What we have decided to do is to, because there's been a lot of discussion on this project, a lot of misinformation. So we have decided, last night the council passed a resolution or decided to hire a third-party consultant that will review the ADA or pedestrian improvements of this plan, the ADA accessibility, and give us a recommendation. Make sure that, do we legally have to do that ramp? If we change the stairs, do we have to do that ramp? Do all of our pedestrian improvements around the circle, are those ADA compliant? If that ramp is warranted for compliance, where's the best place for us to put it to make it, you know, best for ADA accessibility? So we're having a third-party person come in and review that plan and then give us a recommendation. So basically, the council approved last night. The resolution states that we will have a third-party expert review the ADA compliance of this plan and make a recommendation before we move forward with the ramp itself.
Okay. And what is the cost of that?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
ADA, of course, American with Disabilities Act to provide access for wheelchairs, walkers, mobility scooters, etc. Of all places, Fairhope needs that access.
They do. And some people might interpret it to say, well, if you do something, you know, you are providing a route. You're allowing them to drive down the hill and you provide handicap parking and there's access down there. So a lot of it's just interpretation. And that's why it's helpful to have that third party person come in, and that all they deal with is ADA
but
compliance.
If you're out on a walk and you want to go down, I can see nightmares of the videos gone wrong when you're pushing a wheelchair that flies out of control because the hill's too deep, too steep,
and one thing, heavy.
You know,
We haven't heard from a lot of people who have disabilities. We have heard from, you know, the few that do not want the ramp and think that it's going to be intrusive to the bluff and that aesthetically it's not pleasing.
Is it near their house or something?
Not really, not that I'm aware of.
I just don't understand why people would be so adamantly opposed to handicap access. That's what ADA compliant means.
It is. And to be honest, they're probably the ramp right now probably is not in the best place for ADA accessibility. We tried to, in the scope of the work or in the conceptual, make sure we put it in the place that was, you know, most aesthetically pleasing, it's on the far south end of the bluff right now. So this compliance officer could come back and say, you know, that's not the best place for it based on parking and, you know, whatever it might be. So we're going to look at their recommendations and then the council will have the opportunity to move forward from there. But again, we have not heard from many people with disabilities, you know, saying that, yes, we would like that ramp. So if you do have a disability.
But it's already there in the plans.
It is there in the plans.
Usually people don't say anything unless it's a complaint, right?
Right.
Well, they're all sitting there going, Look, Aunt Mary, we can take you to the pier and stroll around. It's if we can't take you, you might hear a complaint.
Well, and so they should, people should still continue to follow the plan.
Okay.
There's a possibility that the ramp could be left in the plan, or based on the recommendations, there's a possibility it could come out.
So, do we need to open another public comment period concerning this ramp so that those that would like to use it now hear that it could be threatened? Maybe now's the time they should speak up.
I think there will be plenty of time. I mean, because obviously we're not going to start construction tomorrow. So I think there's plenty of time for comment. Also, the professional services for the ADA, you know, compliance officer will have to go on the council agenda, and then every piece, part, and component of this project has to be bid and goes back before the council. So there's always time for comment.
This move postpones any further activity and a vote on the project itself.
I wouldn't say that it postpones it, because they can start engineering other components of the project.
Okay, so resolution number 10 did pass with that addendum.
It passed with that addendum.
Okay, good.
So they can start, you know, engineering and designing other parts of the project, but the pedestrian improvements will be something that we'll wait on that compliance officer to make the recommendation before we move forward on that component.
Okay, good. And once again, we remind people to watch the meetings at the City of Fairhope YouTube channel, which I did not have the opportunity to do so last night, but you can watch them at any time.
And that's why I'm here with you.
Very good. Thank you so much. Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 832, 67 degrees. Dense fog advisory still in effect. What is the Osprey Platform Project?
So that is a project with the Alabama Coastal Foundation that Kim Burmeister, who's an environmental officer for the city, has been working on. It is down at the Fairhope Docks, which is off of Seacliff, and it is basically an osprey platform. So osprey can, you know, fly around and nest from there, or perch themselves up over the bay and look for food. So it's kind of a fun little, you know, nature project for Fairhope to have and for people to be able to watch. We hope to eventually maybe put a cam on the osprey so people can go to the website and kind of, you know, watch them nest and watch them hatch.
Like with the bald eagles in Gulf Shores. Mm-hmm. Cool. While we're at the docks, let's skip to number 19. We have damage to the Fairhope Dock bulkhead. And in this resolution, you rejected bids to rebid because nobody bid on the job.
We didn't get any bids.
This is crazy.
But, you know, it's the nature of what we're finding, Lori, here in Baldwin County. You know, people are so busy after the hurricanes repairing bulkheads and repairing, you know, piers that, you know, and there's a lot of stipulations that comes from working for the city. I mean, we put time constraints on them. You know, when we do the bid process, they have to fill out a bunch of paperwork. So, you know, a lot of people just choose not to bid.
Yes, just preparing the bid, I happen to have a little bit of previous experience in that area, can be costly and expensive and time-consuming just to prepare the bid and meet the parameters within that.
That's
bid.
Right, just to meet the scope of work. And yeah. The other thing, again, is we always put time constraints on, mm-hmm. on contractors. You know, we want to be, and we want to be good stewards of the city's money, so you're in a bidding process. You know, you're competing with other folks. But, again, we will rebid that because there is some repair down there that needs to be done.
Yes, there's a waiting list for boat slips.
There is.
It's not going to proceed until these repairs can be made.
That's right. And we're not proceeding with that because we want to take where the boats currently are, you know, we want to move them around in the docks so we can perform this maintenance work. So that's one reason why we are not, you know, currently leasing slips.
Right. Now, was there damage already, some things that needed attention to the docks before Hurricane Zeta or not?
There was probably a little bit, I think some electrical maybe, but not near as much as there is now. No.
And that was mostly Zeta, not
it
Sally.
Was, right.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Oh, number 13. We're having the 4th of July.
We are, and we are so excited. That was a fun conversation to have last night because, you know, we've done this one other time when I was working for the city where we have brought in a contractor to do the fireworks, not have the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department shoot them. So we are in that same boat this year. You know, they've changed a lot of the laws concerning fireworks, and to have a what they call a certified shooter has become a little bit more cumbersome with the process. You have to go to, you know, 16 hours of training, and you have to get the certification, and you have to have insurance, and you have to, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that they have to do. And you also, to get that certified, be a certified shooter, you have to be part of 6 shows. So, and be what somebody comes in and watches you or monitors you, and you have to be part of those 6 shows in order to get your certification. Well, with COVID and everything, we have not had the ability for anybody from the fire department to be able to see 6 shows. So, you know, it remains to be seen whether we'll continue to move forward with a vendor to do the shows, or if we'll go back to the volunteer fire department shooting the fireworks. You know, there, like I said, there's been a lot of changes in the law, and it may just make more sense to continue to use a vendor to do those shows.
And who knew there was an Alabama law concerning pyrotechnic shooter law?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Government red
yes.
tape. Okay.
Yes.
Number 14, grants management, hiring a consulting service to help prepare grants up to $2,000 a month. Is this new or is this something y'all been doing?
It's not new. It's something we've been doing. So Stacy McKean works for grant management, and she is very involved in the Restore Act, is the Restore projects as well, but she's on contract for those. But this will include things like ATRIP and ADECA, just grants that we go after, maybe for sidewalks or road improvements, those kind of things. That there's a lot of federal red tape, and you know, Jessica Sawyer does a great job kind of being that liaison with the city. But you have to track these grants, you have to, you know, manage them. And Stacy just has a great wealth of knowledge about these federal laws and things that we have to do, as from a reporting standpoint. So it's really important that we have her there.
Number 15 is concerning improvements to our gas department, or actually, this looks like generators for the lift station
There's some lift stations that need generators, and so this is the purchase of generators for some lift stations, and I'm not sure which ones, but it's for lift stations.
That's okay. It's sewer improvements. I get so frustrated when I talk to people that say, what are they going to do about all this growth and all this sewer? And I just go on a diatribe. It's like, they're not listening. Do you just want to beat your head against the wall? What do you tell people when they say that?
Well, yes, I do want to beat my head against the wall. And it's funny because, especially working with the Working Waterfront Project, and people see we have $6.2 million, and they say, well, why don't you spend that on sewer? We're like, we are doing sewer upgrades. We've spent $15 million on sewer upgrades in the past several years, and we have another $10 million that we're spending through Restore. And then projects like this, things that we continue to do, and aid to construction with a lot of the development that we're seeing. I think what people don't understand is, you know, we meet with these developers, and if there's improvements that need to be done, I mean, they're agreeing to pay for those improvements. We're not just allowing these developers to go in and put a burden on our system.
So I try to explain people, do you believe that people should do what they want with their land within the law? Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, then they want to build an apartment complex. And because it's not in the city limits, it's in our jurisdiction, we have this, our hands are tied. All we can do is make sure they build it properly with proper drainage.
Right.
But we can't stop them from building it. Laws are in place to protect their rights.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. What else would you like to address? Let's see on the agenda that we haven't finished. Emergency repair for the bulkhead, number 18.
Right. So that is the south end of the beach park, where people are seeing that bulkhead cave in. You know, it was compromised basically with some deferred maintenance prior to Sally or Zeta, and then it just continued to take a beating. So we do have a maintenance plan in place for that. We had to wait for a permit from the Corps of Engineers to be able to do this work. So basically, we are going to repair that area, just a temporary repair, waiting for the Restore, the Restore project to begin down there to redo that complete bulkhead. And also, just wanted to mention while we're talking about the pier, that the work to reestablish utilities did start yesterday.
That was my next question.
They did. They started building the utility tray that will be placed out there, and started work on that. It should be complete by the end of next week, if not sooner. So we're excited about that.
I want to compliment the city once again, because back on March the 8th, y'all decided to do the work yourself, buy the tray, and then get your own departments to build and install this tray. Unbudgeted cost of $31,568, not to exceed $50,000, when the bids that y'all received to do this were $250,000.
That's correct. So we have put together a team of employees from facilities maintenance, from our public works department, and the utilities, and they're working diligently to get that done. Nobody wants that, you know, repaired more than the city. I mean, we take such pride in our facilities, and you know, but it's taken a while to get this one done, and I mean, I'll take responsibility for that, but it has been a long, cumbersome process to go through the bid process, then deny bids, and then look at the cost. So we're happy to be getting that work done.
And it was just the strangest thing to drive down there at night and see that pier
dark.
I know. It'll be nice when that's
done. Same way.
And finally, number 21, and that is concerning the urban area designation. The U.S. Census Bureau proposed making a change that would affect what would be federal funding and more. Tell us about that.
It's a population change, basically. It has to do with the MPO, but it's called an MSA designation, and basically they were trying to change the population from 50,000 to 100,000, and we really want to maintain that 50,000. So you have more MPOs in your area. It allows you to get more grant funding, more money for transportation. But you know, that would change things significantly for our area.
The MPO is the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Right.
We have an Eastern Shore one, and we have a Mobile one.
Correct.
And that is, they're like the administrators of federal infrastructure improvement dollars.
Correct.
In fact, that body is largely responsible in part of the bridge recommendations.
That's correct.
So under their current change of recommendations, would one of our MPOs be eliminated?
That could possibly happen. And the other thing is, right now I think we're set to get another MPO in Baldwin County, or add to the current MPO. I think it's actually a separate MPO, but it would prevent us from doing that because, you know, you wouldn't exceed the, right now the MPO includes Spanish Fork, Daphne, Fairhope, Loxley, and then there could be another MPO that would include like Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, mm-hmm. you know, from population traffic perspective. So you just want to be careful anytime they're changing those population thresholds to make sure that they're not impacting your federal dollars that you can get for transportation.
And that's what this would do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
It would.
What else would you like to mention that I have not? As soon as we stop, it's always like, oh yeah, we didn't.
One more thing.
Of course, the Arts and Crafts Festival. Glad to have that coming
right.
back Friday.
There was a couple things that I mentioned in my comments.
Okay.
Just Arts and Crafts obviously is coming up this week. We're real excited about that. Excited to be able to do that this year. Paul Merchant, as most of you know, is retiring. He's our city horticulturist, and he will be retiring in. Late July, early August, and we have promoted Jamie Rollins, who has been with the city and under Paul's wing for 15 years, to our lead horticulturist. So we're excited about having Jamie there.
Good.
He's going to do a great job.
He won't have any problem with the transition.
No,
flowers are
not.
Gorgeous right now.
Aren't they pretty?
I think this is my favorite arrangement.
Spring is,
yeah.
It's so pretty. And then Arthur Bosarge is retiring after 26 years of service to the city. So we're going to celebrate him this week. And, you know, we just have some long-term employees that are actually going to start enjoying their retirement. We hate to see them go, but we know that's what everybody works for. And big shoes to fill. And, you know, but we're thankfully we have some great internal candidates to be able to step up and fill those slots.
Over 60 years between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Over 60 years, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And they are great men.
They are.
I am looking at some vehicles in here on North Church Street. Gulf Coast Underground. Are those the ones that are preparing for the sewer project that's going to be coming this way? They're still behind the civic. They're still behind the Civic Center and the police department. Right.
The Church Street Drainage Program.
Yes.
Project. Yes. To be honest, I'm not sure if they're a contractor for that project or one of the many that are going on around Fairhope.
Give us a snapshot of what you mean. One of the many projects.
Okay. So we have the Church Street Drainage Project, obviously, that's going on that will eventually make its way down to Fells.
Because this is like one of the main arteries for the water pipes
correct.
In the sewer, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But while we're in there, we're addressing everything from gas to, you know, everything that's there. As we open up the ground, we're looking at it. Then we have the alley project, that's the alley right across the street from you, Lori, that we'll start that project just probably close to May, start bidding that project.
And that is making a little transit hub and bathrooms.
Bathroom facility.
And the parking garage a little more brighter and usable,
right.
User-friendly.
Doing some upgrades to the alley back there, the
mm-hmm.
drainage,
okay.
You know, backdoor entrances to some of the businesses, working with those business owners just to make some necessary improvements there, some wayfinding, some signage, some
mm-hmm.
art components to it. So we have that. Then, of course, you have the restore project at the pier that will start probably, I would say, easily by the end of the year. We also have the sewer restore project, which is, you know, a $10 million project that will probably could start by the end of the year. We've got the drainage project going on Section Street right now to do improvements to the drainage there.
Yeah, that's the one by the Arts Center.
Correct.
There. Okay.
And then you've got the other two restore projects that are going to be going on are going to be the comprehensive land use program, our plan, and then also the GIS plan to be able to map basically all of our systems and map, you know, different things in the area. So those really won't be, you know, impacting traffic or streets or anything, but those are, you know, some big projects that we have going on that are going to be happening around Fairhope. So, I mean, literally, we could probably tear up the town all at the same time, which we're trying not to do, you know, we're trying to stage these projects, but there's a lot of infrastructure projects that are ready to okay. move forward.
And what were you saying about a comprehensive land use?
Comprehensive land use plan. It's another one of the restore projects that we're doing. So, and you'll see more coming out about it because there'll be a lot of public engagement surrounding that program. We haven't even awarded it yet. So,
what does that entail, though?
It's an update basically to our comprehensive plan.
To our comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That I haven't heard
document.
Much of lately.
No, and that this will be this is a good time for us to update that plan. You know, things have changed a lot in Fairhope. Fairhope has grown a lot, and that's something you always want to revisit because it's a fluid document. It's things that, you know, are that you want to update as your community grows and as people change, the places change and the people change, and so and to make sure that you're developing in a way that your, you know, your population wants to see you grow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Wow, that went by quick, and it is 8:47.
It did.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor